This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The world is in chaos and terror is gripping the governments of the world. Welcome to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and today is no exception. With Israel preparing for Iranian missiles and drones and strikes on major cities, and governments around the world facing insurrections in one form or another, civil wars, insurrections, the breakdown of civil society, and also stock markets crashing around the world, it seems that our world is primed for something that it's not prepared for. So again, I welcome you to Viewpoint. It's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And today we're going to take a look at three separate aspects of the crisis or chaos or turmoil that the world is experiencing. We're going to first take a look at what's happening with regard to Iran and Israel, which affects the United States, it affects Europe, it affects all the surrounding countries. Who knows ultimately what it affects, because Iran is promising to create a very creative kind of devastating response to Israel's assassination of Haniyeh in Tehran last week. And so we're going to take a look at the response of Israel and the rest of the world to the Iranian promise of a very serious attack. Next, we're going to take a look at the stock market and the financial aspects. As Bill Clinton once said, is the economy stupid? Well, maybe it's stupidity that's creating the problems with the economy. So we'll take a look at some of that. Then also, there is a different level of chaos that's being created. One has to do with our own government and the whole issue of immigration, which you may not have heard of, but a serious fraud has been discovered in the Biden administration's mass immigration program, causing the Biden administration to put at least a temporary pause on its program. Then in the UK, it appears that civil unrest is so great that even Elon Musk says it's primed for civil war. And then finally in Bangladesh, the Bangladesh Prime Minister has resigned today, fled the country, and terror is reigning there. And then also in Venezuela, we know the election that took place there, the United States has determined that the claims of Maduro and his government that he won are absolutely untrue. And the United States government has actually recognized now, formally recognized, his opponent as the actual winner. Where is that going to go? Venezuela is in turmoil. In fact, as each one of these countries and each one of these situations is in turmoil and chaos, it is gripping the other governments of the world because it echoes throughout the world. Just imagine what globalism is like. Just imagine how, if this can happen, if these things can happen in individual governments and echo throughout the world, what would happen then if all was gathered together in one government? Would that prevent this kind of chaos? Well, that's what the globalists believe. They believe that uniting the religions of the world and the governments of the world and the economies of the world all into one great super state called the Great Reset or the One World Order, that in fact will eliminate, will have peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and all strife and stress and turmoil and chaos will forever be resolved. Do you believe that? Well, that's what Satan wants you to believe, friends, and that's why the press toward a one world global order is in full court, as the Biden administration has proved, as also Kamala Harris insists upon following up in that same jet stream to pursue a global order, a one world order, and to undermine all those things that have made America great or exceptional as compared with the rest of the world. That will remain a subject for another day. So today we begin by taking a look at Iran. Israel is preparing for Iranian missiles and drones and strikes in major cities, not just one place, but in a variety of places. Against the backdrop of the blow Iran suffered with the assassination of Ismail Haniyeh in the heart of Tehran last week and the damage to its dignity, the assessments in Israel are that Iran is planning and coordinating its response with its partners. Now, who are the partners that Iran is working with and requiring, expecting to respond with them to create this chaos in Israel? Well, it includes Hezbollah in the north, the Houthis in Yemen, the Shiite militias in Syria and Iraq, and Hamas headquarters all over the world. All of these are Iran's hands and arms and fingers and feet to do its bidding. With that in line, we understand that Iran has already declared, without any exception, that it intends to destroy Israel one way or the other, and that that destruction is nearing, as Khamenei has declared. You can imagine the stress that this is placing upon Israel. The Israeli Defense Force has active defense systems that are among the best in the world, like the Iron Dome and the Magic Wand and the Arrow 2 and 3 systems. In an attack, though, the IDF has an overwhelming, accurate, and extensive fire capability. But that doesn't mean they're not going to get hit. That doesn't mean there isn't great concern. The Israeli Air Force is trained and is on high alert, combined with the capabilities of the Navy. The commander of the United States Central Command arrived in Israel today for final coordination. Yet, there is no knowledge as to how Iran intends to respond. So all that its allies can do is to expect that something akin to what happened in the last attack, where Iran sent over hundreds of drones to attack Israel, that it will be like that, but more intense. But what if it spreads to other countries? What if it spreads to various Israeli sites or even U.S. government sites supposedly supporting Israel, and that's also how they respond? You see, nothing is clear. And so, regardless of what you may read, regardless of what you may hear on the news, it cannot be totally accurate because they don't know. The U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, told his counterparts from the G7 countries yesterday that an attack by Iran and Hezbollah against Israel could start as early as today. Another report says that it could be this evening. Or another report said it could be within 48 hours. Another report said it could not be perhaps until August 12th or 13th. What is correct? We don't know. Welcome back. This is Viewpoint.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
The world is in chaos, it is in turmoil, and terror is gripping the governments of the world. There's just no way to get around it. That's just the way it is. And all are dealing with different aspects of the chaos. The chaos is echoing economically. It's echoing in terms of governmental approaches. It's fairness of governments. in dealing with hiring and so on, is dealing with so many different aspects, Marxism versus fair market and so on. All of these things are in play right now as the world is shaking in chaos. The Jerusalem Post announced today, in fact, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, that Iran had decided to attack Israel. Notwithstanding all of the efforts that Joe Biden claims to have gone into to try to negotiate some sort of a, not a ceasefire, but just a mediation of what Iran would intend to do, but all those efforts have failed. Iran therefore decided to attack Israel. The announcement came out at 3 o'clock this afternoon as the Foreign Minister Katz announced. Iran's message was delivered to Israel via Hungary's foreign minister, who called Foreign Minister Katz directly to relay the information. So, amid an intense diplomatic push to avoid any further military action that could spark a direct war between the Islamic Republic and the Jewish state, Iran is informed that the world should exact a price from Iran for any aggressive action it carries out, which is a, shall we say, a not-so-subtle way of saying that it may not just be Israel that is going to be the focus of these attacks, but it may be other countries in the world that Iran intends to attack. Iran's parliament speaker said that it is our response. It is required, and it will be crushing and smart. That's what he said. It would make Israel and its supporters regret their action. Once again, Israel and its supporters tends to indicate that even though it's not being talked about so much with regard to the news media, no matter where you find your news, the reality is they're talking about a broader kind of response, attacking not just Israel, but its supporters. Now, who might those be? I'll let you try to answer that question. Certainly, it begins with the U.S. and its interests around the world, because the CENTCOM commander is in Israel today to work with the Israeli forces, and Benjamin Netanyahu, for coordination, and the United States has sent over, has an aircraft carrier over there now, has sent further military equipment and so on over there to prepare for whatever eventualities occur. Benjamin Netanyahu said last night in a serious cabinet meeting in Israel, he said Israel is already in a multi-front war with Iran and its proxies. He's right. Tensions have soared, as we know, following nearly 10 months of war in Gaza. And then the following last week, the killing of a senior Hezbollah commander in Lebanon and Hamas's top leader in Iran. So the Pentagon has moved significant military assets to the region in light of these developments. You see, whether we realized it or not, in spite of all of the talk and all of the warnings coming from Israel concerning Iran and its being Israel's number one enemy, that it cannot be allowed to develop nuclear power, the world has not been willing to recognize that, starting with Barack Obama, who actually facilitated providing billions and billions of dollars to Iran that ultimately helped fuel their nuclear program. And then when Mr. Biden came along as the putative president of the United States, then he also followed suit and provided further billions of dollars to Iran, all with the idea that somehow that you can kind of sweet talk through money, you can sweet talk these people from carrying out their deeply heartfelt and determined religious agenda to destroy Israel as the ultimate enemy of Islam. You see, Iran decreed itself to be the vanguard of the Islamic Revolution. The Islamic Revolution. And the Islamic Revolution is designed, intended by the Quran and the Hadith to rule the world and to take dominion over the world. And to do so, they believe they must create ultimate chaos in the world. That's their agenda, to create chaos. You may not agree with that. You may not understand that, but that's their viewpoint, you see, and viewpoint is determining destiny. And so they continue to proceed toward this destructive engine to bring Israel and the so-called Zionist movement and entity to a final end. With that, they also intend to bring America to an end. So they say that Israel is the little Satan and America is the great Satan. Each of those countries represents belief that there's only one God and it's not Allah. And because it's not Allah, therefore it necessarily must be destroyed. And those two nations, Israel being revered as the chosen people based on the book of Genesis, where Abraham had the son of promise, Isaac, who succeeded Abraham's first son, Ishmael. He had an argument with God as to why Ishmael, the firstborn, should not receive the ultimate promise, and God said no. Ishmael was not the son of promise. You tried to supersede my will. You were not patient. You brought forth a son of Hagar, and he is not going to be the heir. Isaac is the son of promise. That is not accepted within Islam. They say it's a miswriting of the Bible, and that Ishmael is really the son of promise, and therefore they are the ones to inherit the land and all the promises through Abraham. Therein lies the problem. So, Iran, as the vanguard of the Islamic revolution, is seeking to once and for all destroy the Zionist movement and Israel, representing the son of promise, so that Ishmael and his descendants, both Arab and Muslim, will be able to inherit the world. In order to do that, they believe they must create maximum chaos in the world to bring out the Islamic Messiah, the Mahdi, the 12th Imam, to gain dominion over the world. And that Jesus himself, that they call Isa, will come and return and declare the 12th Imam, the Islamic Messiah, the Mahdi, declare him to be the Lord of the world, and Jesus himself will be his supporter. That's their viewpoint. Now, you can laugh at it, you can make fun of it, but you see, if that's their viewpoint and they believe it sincerely, then we should take significantly what they say and what they believe, because it's not a joke. It is what they believe, and they're acting upon what they believe. Unlike many Christians, you see. A lot of Christians don't understand this because they think that, they can just live however they please and do whatever they want, and everything's wonderful, everything's cool, and the God who will judge the earth with righteousness, the Jesus who will judge the earth with righteousness, is going to wink at their sin and their rebellion, and everything will be wonderful. But you see, serious Islamites don't believe that. They believe that they must live according to the strictures of the Quran and the Hadith, and thereby even martyr their lives, allow their lives to be given for the cause, not because they think they're going to inherit, as Christians think, well, you're standing up for the cause. No, they actually believe that that's how they gain a guarantee of eternal salvation, to the extent that they believe in eternal, some kind of eternal salvation. So that gives a brief understanding that we've talked about before here on this program, but reiterated for those who are not up to date and not familiar with that. Now, in addition to what we've already talked about, the Jerusalem Post has announced yesterday, actually today, that Iran plans to attack Israel on Tish B'Av, which is the Jewish day of disaster. Now, if that be true, then we're looking at a situation where it could be August 12th or 13th or both. Now, that would be a very realistic time, but the whole world is on pins and needles until that time. I cannot tell you when this is going to take place, and the Jerusalem Post could not tell us with absolute certainty. However, Iran's supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, wrote, quote, "Following this bitter, tragic event which has taken place within the borders of the Islamic Republic, it is our duty to take revenge." So there's an emotional and psychological impact in targeting Israel on the holy day of mourning, which is Tisha B'Av. Okay, finally, today, a report coming from the Russian Times indicates that Israel may be mulling a preemptive attack on Iran, that top officials believe the move could be justified if there's conclusive intelligence that Iran is, in fact, about to attack. Israel could launch a preemptive strike on Iran if it receives intelligence that Iran is certain to attack in retaliation for the assassination of Hamas and Hezbollah leaders. So according to the Times of Israel, the option was discussed at a high-level meeting Sunday night, the cabinet meeting that they had in Israel. A preemptive strike could be greenlit if Israel receives conclusive intelligence, including intel from the United States, that Iran is about to launch an attack. Now, the diplomatic efforts to try to stave off this kind of thing have failed, with Iran telling Arab diplomats that it didn't care if the response triggered a war. They don't care. Now, that having been said, you can see from the standpoint of Israel and Iran, which incorporates Syria, Hezbollah in the north, which is, and Lebanon, and Hamas, and also the Yemen Houthis, and perhaps also Turkey. Erdogan, just last week, declared that if Israel entered Lebanon, that he would take his forces, which is the fourth largest army in the world, and invade Israel. Are you beginning to get the bigger picture here? All right. That having been said, I think you can see that the world is in a very precarious position. Now let's take a quick look at the Olympics. The Olympics have been a colossal traumatic, had a colossal traumatic effect in the world, largely because of the day one presentation, the opening ceremony, that has caused such consternation and colored everything else that would go on following that opening ceremony, with the mockery of Jesus Christ and his disciples in the Last Supper to promote homosexuality and transgenderism and every perversion, sexual perversion known to man. In addition to that, there are other aspects within the Olympics, including the horrific condition of the Seine River that the triathletes were required to swim in. And now some are getting E. coli, which is preventing them from even competing. We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
In addition to the corruption of the San River and also the corruption of Christianity by the promoters of a new French Revolution, we also find out that women's boxing has been perverted, and that has taken over the country, the world, in anger, in antipathy toward what the French and the Olympic Committee have allowed in order to spread perversion, corruption, spiritual corruption, moral corruption in the world. It's as if a new form of French Revolution is manifesting itself in the world. Now, the French Revolution was a profound prototype of the coming seductive rule and promise of the counterfeit Messiah. So it may well be that a kind of a re-upping of the spirit of the French Revolution may provide a classic, even perhaps prophetic example or type of the times that we're now discussing here that will lead to a period called the Tribulation. So the Tribulation is not a seven-year period as generally understood. There is a period, some may say, of 7 years, described as the 70th week of Daniel, divided into two parts, the first part being the era of about three and a half years that will set the final stage for the Great Tribulation. That's the only term used in the Bible, the Great Tribulation that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 24. The Great Tribulation is the period in which the Antichrist takes over and is manifested and all hell breaks loose on the planet. That indeed will follow intense chaos building in the world. It's building even as we speak. So in order to understand a little bit more about that, you might want to get a hold of my book, Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter. It's a $22 book, yours for $20. It's on our website, saveus.org. It has an entire chapter dealing with the revolutionary perspective, and I think you will gain considerable insight from that. You'll be able to find the book on our website, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. All right, now we're going to shift over to look at the massive economic problems that have invaded the world as of this very morning. Stock markets went into a meltdown today amid fears that the United States could be heading for a recession, pushing investors into panic selling mode. That's called chaos, friends. Panic selling mode. I remember back in October of 1987. I was practicing law then in Southern California, and I had a modest investment in the stock market, and I do mean modest, but for me it was significant, and I was putting my feet out there, testing the waters and so on. And boy, did I get tested, because the stock market dropped about a third in one day. It was terrifying. It was called Black Monday. So the report today is global markets have kicked off the week in full sell-off mode, shooting up by the most on record in a single day, reviving memories of past crises. Like what past crises? October 19th, 1987, Black Monday, where the S&P lost 20% in one day. The NASDAQ shed 11.5%. It was terrifying. Now, the market today is a long way from that, but the spirit of that is what we're talking about. And the interesting comment coming from this article is that because of this, gold has come under pressure, even as people perceive it to be a safe haven. But intense volatility means that gold and silver can get swept lower along with everything else. So where you trusted, you see, where you put your trust is not trustworthy. Now, you're being told it's absolutely trustworthy, but it's not. Not only is it not totally trustworthy in terms of the normal focus, the course of economic events and pressures, but even with regard to governments. You see, it was the United States of America that went off the gold standard in 1972 with a Republican president, Richard Nixon. Said, you got to collect all the gold. We don't want anybody to have gold out there. Why wouldn't that happen again? You see, our trust, friends, is being tested. Without a test, there is no testimony. Every one of us in some way or another is being tested. I talked to the Lord about this personally this morning. We have our own areas of testing. Without a test, there's no testimony. I regret to have to say that, but God allows tests to come into our lives to prove who and what we trust. Where is our confidence? So let me ask you a brief question. Where is your confidence? Don't ask answer too quickly. Think about it very hard. Because you see, when the economic forces of the world cause stock markets to plunge, creating chaos, and nobody can seem to depend on anything, and the banks begin to play the same game, and you can't get your money, now what? And then you find that the other aspects, the chaos within the various governments of the world, not just the banks, but the governments of the world, the people are reacting, they're responding, they can't get control. And so, what is going to happen? Well, that, my friends, is what brings on the great terror of the French Revolution to gain the maximum force over the people. It's called the Great Tribulation. And the one who heads that up will be an individual referred to as the Antichrist, who will be seen as the great peacemaker, the one who can bring about almost magically the resolution of all of these things and restore peace to the planet, hope to the world, and for a short period of time, he will be revered increasingly in that regard, until all of a sudden, in his heart and mind that has been implanted by Satan himself, he will declare himself God. He will have the God complex, and he will walk into a rebuilt temple, which he probably himself will have helped to facilitate. And he'll walk into that temple and declare himself God, very much like Antiochus Epiphanes did so many centuries ago. Millennia ago. So the stock markets plunge on U.S. recession fears. Wall Street stocks deepened their losses today, and Tokyo had its worst day in 13 years as panic spread across the trade floors over fears of recession in the United States. Now, this is the economy, friends, that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are telling you is stable and wonderful and the best that it's ever been. And yet, the world is looking at our economy and saying, not so. So who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? Just asking. Just asking. Today was the first time in history that the NASDAQ has been down 1,000+ points during a single trading session. And it is said that the market meltdown was triggered by a weak U.S. jobs report on Friday, which showed the unemployment rate reached its highest since October 2021, all contrary to the reports coming from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. They say, not so. But the report says, yes, so. The report came 2 days after the U.S. Federal Reserve decided to keep interest rates at a 23-year high. Investors feared that the Fed's high rates, which were aimed to slash inflation, could be plunging the economy towards a hard landing and recession instead of the soft landing sought by the central bank. So, we have Japan and its stock market with its worst day in history. Complete sell-off amid fears that the U.S. could be heading for a recession. It plunged almost 13 points. That is percent, rather, 13%. The scale of the losses marked the worst day for that index since Black Monday of 1987. And all the gains that had been made during the entire year were lost today. Just thinking about what Jesus had to say about putting our trust. Where is your trust anyway? You know, we're having to be tested that way. My wife and I, we talk about it openly, even this very day. What are we hearing here? Are we hearing sort of a preliminary trumpet sound? Not the final trump, not the last trump, but sort of in the distance, we can hear the trumpet sound. Sort of a soul-piercing, almost like a shofar, telling us what's coming, warning us about how serious things are. Are we really hearing that out there? Is that what this could be, or is just this one more little bump in the road? Just asking. It certainly is a big bump, isn't it? Bigger than most people ever expected.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. We're talking about the world in chaos here today, turmoil. That terror is gripping the governments of the world, and it is absolutely true. We're going to move into a whole new arena of discussion in just a few moments. But when we were talking about the trumpet sound, the piercing sound of the trumpet has always called humankind to action for millennia. It's been employed to announce coming royalty and to warn against dire impending danger. And the shofar, the biblical trumpet or ram's horn, was ordained by our Creator as a particularly unique and heart-piercing instrument to call his people's attention beyond all other trumpet sounds. Now, what we're hearing now is not the shofar. What we're hearing now is the preliminary trumpet sounds, perhaps, leading up to the shofar. So, the urgency of the sound of the trumpet has been employed by God throughout his word to get the attention of his people, to alert them both to the coming of the great king, that is Yeshua, Jesus, and to prepare themselves in holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And that no man shall abide, be able to abide the day of his coming. So here we have America, claiming to still be under God, was alerted during the catastrophic civil war that tore through the soul of our country by the call of the trumpet. You may recall the piercing words of Harriet Beecher Stowe there in the Battle Hymn of the Republic. I love that song. God is sounding forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He's sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. His truth is marching on. What an amazing song. And his truth is marching on, but it's not necessarily marching on in everybody's boots. Not everybody's boots that claims to be a Christian. Not everybody's boots that claims to be a pastor or a spiritual leader. Every day, almost every day, a new report is coming out about another pastor, spiritual leader, falling because of sin, mostly sexual sin, but also fraud, Ponzi schemes, all kinds of things. How can this be happening? So, the God of history and prophecy is doing today no less than what he's done in the past to prepare we the people for the coming King of Kings and the unprecedented deceptive opposition of his imposter. And it's coming. The stage is being set, my friends. It is being set. So God told Isaiah, there in Isaiah 58, verse 1, he said, look, I want you to lift up your voice like a trumpet. His voice wasn't a trumpet, but he said, I want you to lift up your voice like a trumpet. Don't spare. Let it sound loud and clear. Spare not and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. So, you see, from God's viewpoint, knowing the tendency of us created in his image to spiritual passivity and rebellion, he's made clear that for preparation of the people in ultimate times of spiritual danger, and especially in preparation for their lives for the soon coming of the Lord, they need to hear the voice of the shofar. However unwanted it may be to a people accustomed to ear-tickling messages that just merely massage their tender feelings and spare their tender toes for temporal relief from the unending consequences of their persistent sin. So that's why it's written. Right there, the book of Revelation, after the message to the churches of Asia, it says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So, in reality, there's a sense in which, even as we're discussing today, the world in chaos, the governments, the terror that's gripping the governments, what we're really doing is declaring the environment in which the final end time scenarios ushering in the second coming of Christ preceded by the Antichrist will take place. There has to be the world in chaos, in turmoil. Iran knows that, and Satan knows that. That's how he will gain dominion. Now, again, let me just further state to you, if you do not already have my book, Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter, I urge you to get it. It will open your eyes and your heart. It will help you to understand the greater picture. This isn't just a little simple 150-page book. It's a 450-page book. And it deals with things that perhaps you have not thought about and ties the whole of the Bible together and geopolitics. And we see how it's taking place right before our eyes and causes us now to take another look at our own lives. Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter, a $22 book, yours for $20, on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Now we look at governments in chaos. Governments. Terror gripping governments. And we'll begin by looking at the UK. British Prime Minister Starmer, the new guy, is holding an emergency meeting today with police chiefs after days of violent anti-immigration protests intensified, with buildings and vehicles torched and hotels holding asylum seekers targeted. Riots have erupted across towns and cities in the last week there in the UK, our mother country. Over the weekend, riots broke out in Liverpool, Bristol, Tamworth, Middlesbrough, and Belfast in Northern Ireland, with largely young men draped in the British flags hurling rocks and shouting, "Stop the boats," a reference to migrants arriving on the south coast in recent years. They've got the same problem that we have, friends. And the people that introduced the problem have the same mind and heart of Barack Obama, Joseph Biden, and Kamala Harris. Elon Musk spoke on this. The owner of X weighed in on the violence, and he said, "Civil war in England is inevitable." Inevitable. Why? Because they refuse to see how they're cannibalizing their own country by, without restriction, without any meaningful restriction, welcoming in Muslims from all over the world who are taking over England and the UK. And the people that are saying enough is enough. The same thing is happening in Germany. The same thing is happening in France. So that a French rabbi, the head French rabbi, said, "Get out of France immediately. Jewish people, get out. Flee France immediately. There is no hope or place for you in France anymore." Why? Because France has done exactly the same thing as the UK has. Germany has done exactly the same thing as the UK has. And they're in terrifying turmoil. Their governments can't deal with it because political correctness, multiculturalism, and religious pluralism, the unholy trinity of God-hating beliefs, is completely destroying their countries. And they're doing the same thing. Joe Biden has been doing exactly the same thing in this country, intentionally. Kamala Harris is dedicated to doing the same thing on steroids. Now we go to Bangladesh. The Bangladesh Prime Minister, Hasina, fled the country today via military helicopter. You notice how all of these things happening today? after which the South Asian nation's army chief announced that an interim government would be formed. The development comes following weeks of violent protests that have engulfed the country. Why? Well, resulted in hundreds of deaths as rioters have clashed with police. Today, the protesters stormed the prime minister's palace in the capital of Dhaka, demanding Hasina's resignation. The Students Against Discrimination group, which has spearheaded the anti-government protests, responding, insisted that power must be handed over to the revolutionary students and citizens. This is like the French Revolution, friends. That any other scenario would not be accepted, that all the so-called innocent people and political prisoners must be released by the end of the day today, that Hasina's government and the fascist system will be abolished, and that a new Bangladesh and political order will be built. They said, we will not leave the streets without achieving final victory. Hundreds of people have lost their lives amid the clashes involving protesters, the police, and pro-government activists, while thousands have been arrested. Now, we could look at other countries. We could look at what's happening in India. We could look at the massive move of anti-Semitism sweeping America, sweeping Europe, sweeping every place in the world, coupled with the massive persecution that is rising against Christians everywhere. Remember, Iran says and has declared, Israel is the little Satan and America is the great Satan, because of what they purport to stand for as distinct from all other nations of the earth. So Iran says, away with you. You are the final and ultimate preventers. You're standing in the way of our ability to usher in Sharia law over the entire world. Now, where is it all going? These things, friends, are all what's happening today. And we're not even reporting on things that are happening in other spheres. These are things that are just exploding across the world today. This day. Not of the past, today. And that's the reason why, one of the reasons why, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, today. Not yesterday, but today. Yesterday's gone. Today is your only hope for salvation. If you have not confessed Christ as your Savior and Lord, today is the day. Don't harden your heart, the Bible says. Now, let's suppose that you have done that at some time in the past, but you know that you're not walking righteously. And you also know, if you've been listening to this program long, as it's stated in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, without holiness, no man will ever see the Lord. So you can claim your salvation all you want. But if you're not walking in holiness and righteousness, you're not going to see the Lord. So we want to get right with God. We want to confess our sin. Whether or not we claim to have entered into a relationship with Christ or not, we confess our sin. And we're told that if we do that in humility of heart and definite conviction by the Holy Spirit, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's our hope, friends. Let that hope guide you. That's our hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You can't trust anything else. Do it today. No more playing games. No more playing games. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts, friends, by faith to Save America Ministries. Do it today. Remember, the other guy's not doing it. Please go before God and ask what he would have you to give.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.